Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, top of the hour, and some breaking news from ESPN's Adam Schefter, Davis, as Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, has tested positive for COVID-19 per sources. So, Davis, naturally, this is not a player, but, you know, obviously we'll have to keep a close eye on the Saints. And really, I wanted to start off by saying Leonard Fournette is back at practice and start off with some good news, because we've just had all bad news here on the show. But the dynamic that this creates, Davis, is that the Saints are one of those teams that don't play early. And boy, like, that would create a huge wrench into any of the fantasy football projections and lineups this weekend.
Yeah, which it's probably not the first wrench that we're gonna get thrown at us this weekend, right? I got my raincoat on, I got my hard hat on, I am ready for plenty of more wrenches to be thrown in my general direction. Always interesting to me, by the way, when an NFL head coach misses a game, especially a guy who is not super involved in play calling. Or guys who are super involved in play calling, like, either way, I just find it to be pretty interesting, right? We had Nagy miss a game earlier this year with COVID. Stefanski is not going to be on the sidelines this weekend. Sean Payton not going to be on the sidelines this weekend. But just always interesting to me, you know, kind of what is a coach's job on game day? And, you know, like, what is Sean Payton texting, or does he have like an iPad out where he can relay messages to guys? I assume so, right? Like, I assume there's got to be some way for the head coach to relay, like, you know, he's watching the all 22 or something. Like, there's got to be a way for him to be relaying stuff to the guys on the sideline.
Yeah, though, I would think so, but definitely pay attention to Saints cases now this weekend for sure. And there's nothing you can really do about it. They play Sunday night, so. All right, let's get to our headlines here on the show here on this Friday. We've got two games tomorrow night in the NFL. Cleveland opened up as a pretty significant favorite against the Raiders. That is no longer the case. The Raiders are 3.5-point favorites in that game, and New England a very slight favorite in the later game against the Indianapolis Colts. College football bowl season is underway. Bahamas Bowl has started. One more game later today and 6 tomorrow. Warriors-Celtics headlines tonight, 8-game NBA slate. We'll break that down from a DFS perspective coming up in just a few minutes as Brett joins Davis here on the show. And good news for Chargers tight end Donald Parham Jr., very scary hit last night early on in that game. He is in stable condition in a hospital in Los Angeles. Now, the big story of the week, without a doubt, we talked about it yesterday, was the firing of Urban Meyer, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yesterday, for the first time, the interim head coach Daryl Bevel and quarterback Trevor Lawrence ended up speaking about the situation. And Lawrence spoke to the media and spoke about just how crazy this entire season for him it has been.
Obviously, it's weird. You know, it's different deal. Something I've never experienced. You know, some of the guys, obviously, like, that were in Detroit, you know, Marv, this is kind of similar to last year. For me, I think it brings a little bit of clarity to the guys in the locker room. I wouldn't say relief, but I would say it just brings some clarity and some direction moving forward. You know, we really want to go and finish this season strong. And to be honest, it's been hard the last week with everything going on. And, you know, just there's a lot of things being stirred up, I think, by the outside too, that didn't help. Made things a lot worse. But also, just everything that's going on, it's hard to be focused and have all your attention and efforts going towards winning the game when there's so many things going on. So I think, you know, I'm happy for the team that we have clarity, a sense of direction, and we can just go be our best moving forward for the next 4 weeks, and then we'll you know, we'll go from there and see what the next step is. But right now, I definitely think that, you know, we had a great day of practice today, and ready to just move forward.
So Davis, the steam in terms of betting is on the side of Jacksonville. That has gone up significantly. But for fantasy, I got to tell you, like you always say to me, like in baseball, we're going to be sitting here next year and we're going to be in the draft season and we're going to be talking about, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be one of the more compelling players that we're going to be talking about next year, because they're going to have a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. He was the number one pick in the draft, and we simply don't know who he's going to be. So he, to me, is a very fascinating figure come next year.
No, you are 100% right. And I think it's really going to depend on what does he show us in these five, was it four games left that they have with no Urban Meyer now, 15, 16, 17, 18. I mean, if he even has one good game, right? I don't even care if it's against the Texans. If he goes 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions in one of these final games, that is going to be just a kernel of potential enough for us to be in on him. I also think it depends on, do they draft a wide receiver? Do they sign a new stud wide receiver in free agency? Do they bring a tight end in free agency? Because if you have LaVisca Chenault, Marvin Jones, and they re-sign DJ Chark and they add someone else, that's a pretty good group of guys. You know, you're not relying on Treadwell and Tavon Austin and stuff like that. But I agree with you. He is going to be fascinating to discuss, you know, 6 months from now.
Yeah, definitely so. The interesting notes yesterday was that from 5 o'clock Eastern yesterday, I guess the coaching staff couldn't get a hold of Urban Meyer, or 2 days ago to, you know, sort of do the game plan, that they did it on their own. Can't wait for the book to come out on this 9-month tenure of Urban Meyer as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, 8 games in the NBA coming up tonight, and we've got a slate to talk about over on FanDuel. So coming up next, Brett Levy joins us along with Davis, and we will get to seeing how we can help you guys make some money on FanDuel and then the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We've got college football, the NHL, the NFL. We have so much happening here, and yet we want to help you out here on the grid with some NBA as well. So it's time for our daily fantasy DFS segment on the NBA. We have 8 games on the slate tonight, and of course you can get all of the information as to how you can get help by going to dailyroto.com. But also here on this show, Brett Levy joins us to go over his prospective lineup tonight. And Davis and Brett will dive right in and get into it. And so, Brett, without further ado, how is this 8-game slate looking tonight?
Yeah, should be a lot of fun, Craig. We do have to keep our eye on all the COVID issues, just like in football. Basketball is losing people left and right. We lost Giannis and Harden last week. We've lost Russell Westbrook this week. So players are going down, but we have some good games tonight. The Utah Jazz are on the slate. We got the Celtics on the slate, the Grizzlies, we got the Nuggets. So the Hawks, it should be a fun night. And I'm looking to getting started with our guards. I've got Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz as my top point guard tonight. Him and Monty Morris will be my two point guards. Monty Morris has been playing really well for the Denver Nuggets over the last 5 games here. And I'm looking to ride that wave a little bit. Donovan Mitchell, kind of a little up and down, but I think this is a good matchup for Utah tonight against San Antonio. San Antonio, not a great defensive team, kind of struggling a little bit this year. Jaylen Brown returned to the Celtics lineup, I want to say 2 nights ago. Maybe it was just 1 game ago. Looked pretty good, so I'm trying to get in while the price is still low for Jaylen Brown because he missed a bunch of games. And last but not least, Dylan Brooks is going to make my lineup. And Davis, he's $200 cheaper than Desmond Bane, so that was the deciding factor there. I got to spend $200 more on someone else. And those guys are pretty much interchangeables between Bane and Brooks. So whichever one anyone likes better, I would say you could go with. But it was a price thing for me choosing between them.
Well, I am definitely with you on Dylan Brooks. I prefer him over Bane by quite a bit. Now, Bane is pretty good in FanDuel scoring that really rewards steals and blocks. But, I mean, Dylan Brooks is going to go out and get his shots up in this game. You know, that is just Dylan Brooks' game. And this is a really good spot for them, this game on the road at the Sacramento Kings. These are the type of games that the Grizzlies have to be winning if they want to get in there in the play-in. So I like these backcourt selections. I love Monty Morris. And this Jaylen Brown price is absurd. $7,200 for Jaylen Brown returning from injury. He's coming back. He's gotten a chance to rest. I guess if we wanted to put some rose-colored glasses on, you know, one of the things that the NBA has been trying to solve forever is guys playing too many games, too many minutes on their legs and their knees. I guess Jaylen Brown has at least been able to be getting some rest in. Some of the injuries that we need to monitor tonight, Tyler Herro, questionable. That's a pretty big deal for the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler out. That's going to open up minutes and shots for Kyle Lowry and Max Strus. We also were expecting Chris Middleton to return tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's a pretty big deal with Giannis in the health and safety protocols. Pretty much the entire Sacramento rotation is doubtful or questionable. We have De'Aaron Fox doubtful, Tyrese Halliburton questionable, Rashawn Holmes doubtful, Chimezie Metu and Alex Len are both questionable as well. So we could be looking at a very thin Sacramento Kings front court tonight, which I definitely think we're going to touch on here in a little bit. So let's take a look at the front court right now, Brett.
Yeah, so Davis, you know, one of the guys that every night when I look at FanDuel, I'm surprised is playing so well is Terrence Ross for the Orlando Magic. We think of the Magic as like this young team with Wendell Carter and Cole Anthony and Mo Bamba, like developing talent. And we've got, you know, 32-year-old Terrence Ross out there playing big minutes, scoring the basketball, being an integral part of the offense. Kevin Herter's price is just $4,700 tonight. I think that's too cheap for anyone in Atlanta going up against Denver. It's not like Denver's known for their defense. This game is in Atlanta, so there shouldn't be really altitude problems either. The other players I'm looking for in my front court, Jason Tatum. I guess I'm just all in on the Celtics tonight, Davis. I think I like the matchup between Golden State. Might be a little bit of a letdown spot with Curry breaking the record in MSG. Might be tough to get up for the game after that. And then Aaron Gordon, kind of been up and down. I'm hoping I get him on an up night tonight at $5,600. And Wendell Carter, $7,000. I like the young Magic, Davis. I like the way Wagner's been playing. I like the way Cole Anthony's been playing. I've mentioned it a few times. I think he can win most improved player in the league. So, you know, I may be higher on the Magic than some others. Maybe it's some biases towards some friends. But I think the Magic are a good bet tonight with some of their guys like Terrence Ross and Wendell Carter.
And the Magic are one of those teams that are playing a really thinned out rotation tonight due to a combination of injuries and health and safety protocols. Their only active point guard, Cole Anthony. Their only active wings are Wagner, Harris, and Ross and Michael Mulder there. And then in the front court, Wendell Carter Jr., who you mentioned, and Chuma Okeke. I think he is actually a little bit interesting there as well. Love the Kevin Herter play. Don't know how much I love playing Tatum and Jaylen Brown together. I mean, that's probably purely anecdotal, but just sort of thinking that those guys, it's hard for them to both have ceiling games together, but it is a good matchup for them against Golden State at home. They should play a really tight rotation. I also think one of the looks we're going to see from the Celtics tonight, if they do really decide to go for it, right? If there's, I forget the name of their head coach, but if they really do decide to go for it tonight, I think we'll see a little bit of Jason Tatum at center when the Warriors go to their smaller lineup. So, I mean, one, Tatum can play center against Kevon Looney, no problem. But especially when they play Draymond at center, I think they'll use Tatum there. I like the Aaron Gordon play, but You already know who I'm going to mention here. My guy, Jaren Jackson Jr. At power forward. I just, again, I'm still waiting for it. I feel like every night when we do this, I'm like, look, he's got a big one coming. He's got a 50, 60 FanDuel fantasy point game in him, and I like that spot for him. I also wonder, as long as we're going to be talking about the Celtics here, what do you think happens with Robert Williamson? I mean, do you think that he can just dominate this smaller Golden State lineup, get, you know, like 15 rebounds or something crazy? Because Al Horford has been placed in the health and safety protocols for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how the Celtics use their rotation tonight. They could play small as well. I think Grant Williams might be out tonight for the Celtics in health and safety protocols as well. So that's kind of a small ball center that they're missing also. But I think Robert Williams will have his opportunities. He's kind of one of those players, Davis. You never know when he's in the doghouse or, you know, if he misses a team flight or does something silly. But when he's on the court, he's a valuable piece for the Celtics. So, look, I think if he's out there, he's going to make a big impact. I just can't count on him playing minutes at, you know, noon when I need the roster set for this segment. So I think it's definitely within reason and consideration. You should consider Robert Williams, but he's not someone I'm trying to get into my lineup tonight. I think the Celtics scoring will probably come from their two stars tonight, trying to put on a show against Steph Curry.
Yep. All of that, you know, all that works for me. So everyone, if you, like Brett and myself, are interested in getting in on some NBA Daily Fantasy action, head over to dailyroto.com. Don't need to put in your credit card number or anything. Just register with your email address, create an account, and you're going to get access to our projections and our NBA optimizer for free. Pretty good deal. Can't beat free. I use those tools every night myself, and I would encourage you to do so as well. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we'll be rejoined by Jim Sannis to discuss some NFL DFS on FanDuel. See you in a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, our playoff edition of the show. For those of you who have been knocked out of the playoffs, you are in luck. We're going to go over the DFS slate over on FanDuel with who else but Jim Sannis, of course, of NumberFire and FanDuel. He joins us each and every Friday here on the show. And to say that this would be an easy week in fantasy in terms of season long or even DFS would be ridiculous, Jim. This is by far, in all my years, and I've played fantasy football at least 30 years. I think I've even played longer. This is by far the most insane, challenging week I have ever encountered in fantasy football, for sure.
Yeah, before you called me, I was trying to think to myself, like, have I ever experienced a weirder week for DFS? And I don't think I have. When, like, I've been doing this for a pretty long time. I don't know. It's been more than half a decade. And, like, that's a large sample size of NFL games. I broke down more than 100 slates, and I don't think any of them have been weirder than this one. So, like, it's uncomfortable is what I would say. But the good thing is, Craig, everyone else is dealing with the same thing. Like, you know, they have the same issues we do, which means we can still win some money. But, like, to say my confidence level is high would be an outright lie right now.
Yeah, I think this week, at the very least, gives some novice the opportunity to potentially make money than they never have before in daily fantasy, just because of the variance of what could potentially happen with so many players out. I have been playing fantasy baseball and fantasy football back in the early 80s. And I don't ever remember, and I'm talking about playing guys like James Wilder, like not Junior, like his father on Tampa. Neil Lomax was my quarterback on the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, I go back that far playing and doing shows like these for 30 years, 20 years. I don't ever remember constantly looking at my phone to say, oh, I wonder if any of my guys are out. I got to pick somebody up. But there's never been anything like that. But fortunately for DFS, it's a lineup lock. It's right before the game. I mean, and that probably won't help you completely. But it'll get you close to 1 o'clock Eastern. So let's walk through this, Jim, here. And, you know, let's get right to it with the players. And then as we go, we can kind of talk through some of the strategy. Keep in mind, for those of you who are watching, news is constantly changing. So if we give you if we give out a player here that's not playing anymore, I'm sorry. It's just the nature of what it is this week. So at quarterback, as of now on FanDuel, we have Kyler Murray. He is the top priced quarterback. He is at 8,800 on Sunday going up against Detroit. Josh Allen is questionable for the game. We're going to include him in our pricing at 8,700. We're going to skip over Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts seems to be pretty iffy, and you'd be taking a risk, obviously, using him. Lamar Jackson will include here, although, you know, you see his price at 7,700. He looks to be questionable. I don't know how you could play him either. Matthew Stafford, 7,700 on the Rams. Aaron Rodgers, 7,600 on Green Bay. Dak Prescott has really fallen off here. He is at 7,500. So I threw out some names there of some possibles, some probables. Which direction, and give me the strategy at quarterback for you this week?
Yeah, I do think that Kyler gets a downgrade with no DeAndre Hopkins, but I think despite that, he's still probably the number one quarterback on this slate because he is a good quarterback, despite, you know, some rough play on Monday. Good quarterback playing in a dome versus a very bad defense. And I think that adds up to make Kyler being the number one quarterback on this slate at $8,800. And the good thing, Craig, is I can get to him. I know at running back, I'm going to be spending down. So it's not hard to get to Kyler at $8,800. So why would I not take that safety for sure? I do think that there are some lower salary guys worth your attention. Matthew Stafford, you mentioned $7,700 facing the Seahawks. He's also in a dome. He's playing at home. Seahawks defense is flawed, but also even with Tyler Lockett out, I think the Seahawks can score some points and make the Rams, you know, put up some points themselves. So to me, I think those are the primary two right now. I do like Josh Allen, think that Josh Allen's totally fine. But if I had to pinpoint two, I go Kyler at the top end, Stafford in the middle, and then kind of figuring things out after those two.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not easy. And look, the other part of this, too, is that, you know, one player on Seattle was out, you know, as of Thursday and Friday, who knows by Sunday what could end up happening. It creates all kinds of crazy dynamics. Okay, so over to the running backs we go. We have Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is 8,800 against a pretty good Tennessee run defense. Joe Mixon goes to Denver. He is 8,300. James Conner of Arizona, questionable for the game. He's priced at 8,000. Aaron Jones of Green Bay, 7,500, as is his teammate A.J. Dillon at 7,500, and then we have Saquon Barkley, who also missed some practice this week, at 7,300. But I have a feeling if you're willing to pay up for 7,300 for Saquon Barkley, I'm guessing you could find some running back out there for a lot less that can do the same thing.
You can. At $1,000 lower, actually, you can find James Robinson. And it's not because of the Urban Meyer stuff. Like, that's weird. It's annoying. It's more so because Carlos Hyde is in concussion protocol. And when Carlos Hyde has been out this year, James Robinson has been a legit featured back on this offense. He has played 85% of the snaps in both the games Hyde was out or limited. He had a bunch of carries, bunch of targets. So you'd be getting that versus the Texans for $6,300. I think that James Robinson is potentially the best play on this slate, accounting for salary. I think that it's really hard to pass him up. And again, it's not because of Urban Meyer. It's more so because of the situation with Carlos Hyde and the salary on James Robinson plus the matchup. I think that makes him a really fine play. Other guys I think that are worth mentioning here, keep an eye on Aaron Jones because that knee is kind of banged up right now. If he can't go, A.J. Dillon right alongside Robinson as being one of the best running backs on this slate at $7,500. He'll get pretty much every touch in this offense if that does happen. So keep tabs on Aaron Jones, his status for Sunday. In the mid-range, I do like Cordarrelle Patterson. Not the best matchup, but he's still had a good role recently. He's been used as more of like a traditional running back, which I don't like, but the usage and the output has still been good in that time. A lot of yardage, still some targets. It's been good. So I think Patterson's in there. Antonio Gibson's in there. If Daryl Henderson can't get cleared from the COVID list, Sony Michel, pretty much a lock button play too. So those are the guys I'm keeping an eye on. It's A.J. Dillon, keeping an eye on Patterson, Gibson, Sony Michel, there's no Henderson, Zeke, there's no Pollard, but Robinson to me, kind of the one definitive as we talk here on Friday.
Yeah, not a lot. Definitive, that's for sure. Over to the Rams we go with Cooper Kupp. He is the top priced wide receiver this week on FanDuel against a pretty good Seattle defense against the pass. 9,000 on FanDuel. Davante Adams of Green Bay is 8,500. Debo Samuel, more of a runner than a receiver, but you can get the points for both at 8,200. Stephon Diggs, 7,800 against Carolina. Ja'Marr Chase of Cincinnati is 7,500 in Denver. And then CeeDee Lamb goes against the Giants. He is 7,400 on FanDuel. So, you know, some top-end decent matchups here. And, again, dealing with COVID issues around the league, there's going to be some different receivers starting this week.
Yeah, and one guy who's not different is Cooper Kupp at $9,000. And you mentioned the defense for the Seattle team. Very true. You know, they're a good defense. But with the volume Cooper Kupp gets, I'm not sure it matters. And especially with Odell Beckham likely out this week, I think you'll have the ability to get to Kupp. I want to get to Kupp. I'd like to. $9,000 to me, not a detriment. So Cooper Kupp, I think, is a firm priority on this week 15 slate. Other guys I like a lot, Diontae Johnson. Not typically a guy I get to because the Steelers play in really low scoring and dumb games, but every game on this slate is low scoring and dumb. So the cost of that is lower. So I'll take Diontae Johnson and his 15 to 20 targets per game for $7,200 and be very happy about that. I think that Diontae Johnson is a very good play for this week. And again, not a guy I use all that often because of the games in which he typically plays. As far as some lower salary guys, I think there's actually a good number this week. Brandon Ayuk is $6,600. Van Jefferson, 62 with Beckham being out. But on the lower end, looking around 6,000, Julio Jones, Michael Gallup, and Devontae Parker. Those, to me, are all really good plays. If you need help getting to Kupp, like the running backs don't do enough for you, I think those are the guys you can look at. Jones last week did play reduced snap rate, but he played a pretty good snap rate in the first half, had a 29% target share in the first half, too. I think he's close to full go. We can game stack him with Diontae Johnson and feel pretty good about that. Gallup, good target share still facing the Giants. I'm okay with that. But then Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle is on the COVID list. And Parker, when he's played with Tua Tagovailoa, has had good yardage output so far this year and good target shares. And now you're taking 27, 28% of those targets out of the offense. So Devontae Parker, to me, is a cash game play. I think that he's a great play facing this Jets team. So good options, Craig, in every single tier, which is exactly what I want at wide receiver.
I think a lot of people will sleep on Parker, but you're right. Look, people forget about him because he's, you know, seems to miss 3-4 games a year, but he's the healthy one this week, well, at least for now. Ironically, going up against the Jets this weekend. Probably by the time this airs, he won't be. We'll have to, you know, clip that one part. Tight ends. Let's close it out with the tight ends. George Kittle. I mean, what's left to say? He's been the best tight end on the planet this year. Kittle, 7,800. Andrews had a great game as well last week. He's 7,400 with the quarterbacks being iffy this week. Unclear. Knox all the way down to 6,500. Gesicki, 6,200. And then Dallas Goedert is the final tight end priced at 6,000. You'd have to dig beyond 6,000. But I mean, Kittle at this point, what's left to say about it, this Jim? How could he not play this guy?
Great question. I have no answer for you. There is no good answer for why not to use George Kittle. So I'll just use him. That's the easy answer. $7,800. You can get there this week. I'd like to. I honestly, Craig, might just use two tight ends this week, the entire week. And it's George Kittle and Zach Ertz. With DeAndre Hopkins being out, a lot of targets available for Zach Ertz. When Hopkins is out earlier on this year and the games AJ Green played, a 20% target share for Zach Ertz, some decent deep work and some red zone looks too. So I think you can get by as of now with just two tight ends, George Kittle, Zach Ertz. I think they grade out really well above the rest of the field. So I think I'm just not going to overcomplicate it. I'll play those two guys and find ways to mix things up elsewhere.
Well, that's what we'll be doing this week. And certainly follow Jim on Twitter all week long, weekend long, at Jim Sanis, and his work over at NumberFire and certainly at FanDuel. Jim, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. Hopefully things go well for all of us this week. And we will talk about it again next week. Thanks again.
We certainly hope so, Craig. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty more to come. We've got the Fantasy or Reality Sports Grid 60 as we get ready to wrap it up here on this Friday. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Download the Twitter app. It's completely free. And follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information helping you get the edge on wagering and also on fantasy sports. That's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Make sure you follow us right now before the big weekend. Of course, we've got bowl games going on right now. And Davis, we're trying to parse through these lineups. potential players as well. And of course, you know, you'll be, you know, all weekend long getting ready for the big weekend. I don't even know where this came from, but Damian Harris, the Patriots declared out for Saturday night's game against the Indianapolis Colts. We just literally talked about Damian Harris. So Ramondre Stevenson gets the start. Was Harris hurt? I don't even remember hearing anything about it. I don't even think they played last week.
Yeah, he hurt his knee in that Bills game. Retroactively, I am understanding that is why Ramondre played all the snaps in that game. So if you want to go back to the last game that Damian Harris did not play, it was that massive win against the Cleveland Browns, that 45-7 game. Ramondre got 20 carries, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 targets. Kendrick Bourne had 3 rushes. Brandon Bolden had 3 rushes. And J.J. Taylor had 6 rushes. But guess what? J.J. Taylor also remains on the COVID list. And I think he's actually sick, by the way, because he's been on the COVID list now for almost 3 weeks. So I think they'll probably call up Devin Ozigbo from the practice squad. But I imagine that Ramondre probably is a favorite for like 20, 25 touches here.
Yeah, wish I had that guy going into the playoffs. That is for sure. Hopefully you do. Get him in your lineups this week. All right, let's turn it over to Brett. We got today's fantasy or reality.
All right, guys. Well, today we're going to start off in the NBA because some big news, non-COVID related news, but big news nonetheless. Zion Williamson got another ejection in his foot yesterday. This is supposed to help him stimulate healing in the foot for his bones. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. We have not seen Zion Williamson on a basketball floor this year yet. So, we got to ask, Zion Williamson will play this season? Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
All right. Well, I know, look, Craig, he's a great guy. He knows everything there is to know about baseball. He's up on the football season. But I know he probably has not been tracking this Zion story real closely. So I'll get everyone and Craig up to speed. So basically, Zion shows up to media day. He's feeling good. He's ready to play basketball. He gets his physical. And they're like, oh, this foot injury does not look good. He goes through his rehab. He does what he needs to do. He goes for a checkup. And they're like, oh, you made a bunch of progress and then hurt it again. There are reports that he has been up to as much as 330 pounds. Now, team sources say they're not worried. Everyone related to the Pelicans say they're not worried about Zion's conditioning. They say they're not worried about, you know, him attacking his rehab. This is not, remember those Joel Embiid stories that came out when he had that foot injury and they were like, all this guy does is drink Shirley Temples. He never wants to work out. So there's been none of that about Zion. No one is questioning that he wants to get on the court. Zion himself is saying that he wants to get on the court. However, big dude, 7 feet tall, at minimum 300 pounds, probably more than 300 pounds. That's a lot of weight to be. I believe it's the fourth metatarsal is the injury that that Zion Williamson is struggling through. And this is a long-winded way for me to say he's not playing basketball this year. And actually, if you want to go down the conspiratorial trend, Zion sitting out this entire season is actually good for the Pelicans. It gives them a better chance of getting a high lottery pick. And my friends, it also gives them a better chance of re-signing Zion to the mega extension, because the way for Zion to get out of that would be to take the qualifying offer. That's about $8 million a year for one season. And if Zion has not played basketball in 2 years, it's going to be very hard for him to turn down $180 million guaranteed dollars. So I think Zion is not playing basketball this season.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. The only, you know, look, I'm aware of that he had that injection. I'm aware of those pictures that were floating around of him in wearing that like orange suit or whatever it was at an NBA game. And unfortunately, this does feel a lot like Greg Oden. It certainly does, man. Like, I don't know how else it is there is to say it. Once the feet go bad, it's kind of it. It happened to Yao Ming, who was in the prime of his career, and then Yao Ming had to retire. So I will agree with you, Davis. I will say that he will not play this year. I would also like to add, Davis, that for all of the fun sports card conversation that we've had over the past year, imagine sending hundreds of Zion Williamson cards to get graded, and each one of them was 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, and you're getting them back now, 6 months later, and you cannot get $100 for that. I mean that has got to be as painful as it gets, right? From 1,000 to 100.
Well, Craig, I can tell you, I suffered this, not a physical card, but I bought I fractionally owned part of a Zion Williamson, his first NBA Top Shot moment. And let me tell you, the price on that moment, all the way down.
I know. It's just the nature of sports, Brett. All right, Brett, what else we got?
All right. Well, last night, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman called an overtime thriller. But unfortunately, Joe Buck was receiving a lot of heat online. I guess he doesn't have too many fans, Craig. So we'll start with you for this one because Joe Buck calls a lot of big games. You enjoy Joe Buck calling football and baseball games. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Boy, you guys really picked a nice picture of Joe Buck to show here in the holiday season with his mouth wide open as if flies are like headed in his direction. You know, it's funny that this question is a fantasy or reality. I was with my son yesterday. We were playing in the Little League All-Star game. We were on the way back. And my son, I don't know why, he's asking me. He's like, why is Joe Buck? We were actually watching last night's game. That's what it was. We got home. We were watching the game. And my son goes, oh, is that Joe Buck, the one who does the baseball games? I'm like, yeah, that's him. He's like, oh, so he does football too? I'm like, yeah. He's like, does Matt Vasgersian? Like, my son knows so much about baseball. It's like crazy. I'm like, does he do football? Does he say Santa Maria? I'm like, I don't think he does football. I think he just does baseball. And then he asked me, is Joe Buck good? Do you think he does a good job? My answer is yes. This is a reality. He's really good at what he does. I mean, come on. I don't get the hate for all of these broadcasters. Joe Buck sort of strikes me as a guy who gets it, like not one of those aloof, not aware of social media, not aware of things that people say about him in interviews that he does. And Joe Buck, by the way, admitted that he was a guy who didn't get it probably 20 years ago and does now. So I'm totally good with Joe Buck. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. This guy can just come in off a helicopter, Davis, and just fly into, you know, do a World Series game and the next day do the Buccaneers Saints and still sound great. I got to have respect for that. I am good with Joe Buck. No problem.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you were ready for me to trash Joe Buck. Like, you know, I hate all the boomers. No, Joe Buck is good. I have never understood that. There, Joe Buck, if I was to make a list of the 10 worst announcers that do professional football games, he would not even be close. Romo's still my favorite. People don't like Romo anymore. The clock, the pendulum has swung on Tony Romo. People don't like him anymore. They find him annoying. He's still my favorite. But Joe Buck, he mostly does good. I also, you know, it's just kind of like that nostalgia. Joe Buck has mostly been calling games on Sunday for, I mean, pretty much my entire adult life. And people are ragging on him because they said, because he said after Parham got banged up, they said, oh, maybe he's cold and it was like 50 degrees in LA or something. But here's the thing, total no-win situation for the broadcasters. You have to address it. You got to say something. If you say nothing, you're going to get killed for it. But what do you want to say? You got 50 million people watching this game. What do you want him to do? Like, what could Joe Buck say to make that moment feel better for the people who are watching? There's just nothing he could say. So I'm going to say I do enjoy Joe Buck calling football and baseball games, Brett.
All right. Our last one is about New Year's Rockin' Eve, specifically about the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve, because obviously the longtime broadcaster, the show is named after him now. Performers will include Avril Lavigne, Travis Barker, Big Boy, One Republic, Walker Hayes, and many, many more. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You get excited about watching New Year's Rockin' Eve. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, not only is this a fantasy, I don't even know what this is, really. I guess this is a show that is on one of the big networks, right? I assume probably NBC, if I had to guess. And I get the gist. You know, it's like a New Year's show and there are bands performing and there are people in the street and it's in Times Square, right? It's always in New York. The reason I know it is from like watching TV shows that take place in New York where this is like a featured event, like in the show. Like I think they did a How I Met Your Mother episode where New Year's Rockin' Eve was involved. I assume there was probably a Friends episode. If I had to guess, I bet there is one. But won't be watching, have never watched, don't understand why anyone would watch. Craig, I don't get this one at all.
Yeah, in the 80s and the 90s, you know, these were definitely must-watch things. But again, the choices were limited. And you're home on New Year's Eve. There really wasn't a lot on. The other thing that changed, and I guess we're a sports show, so it is kind of fascinating, is that Davis, there were always New Year's Day bowl games. But the idea that there would be football games on Christmas and college football games on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, like, that was unthinkable. Like 20 years ago, there was nothing. There were no games. You would never put anything on television because you wouldn't get any ratings. And now here we are. They put these games on any day, any time, and it simply doesn't matter. So there's no chance I'll be watching this year. Are you kidding me? I mean, I got Georgia and Michigan on New Year's Eve and the game is being played in South Florida. I'm definitely in on that. So, yes, I'm well aware of them. Yes, I used to watch them very religiously every New Year's Eve in the 80s and the 90s. But now there's so many choices. And do I really care about any of the performers at this stage? Probably not. So this is probably a fantasy for me. I don't know. Brett, do you still watch these things? You live in New York.
Yeah, everyone watches the ball drop here, Craig. It's a big thing. I guess you're right. There are a lot of options now. I don't know specifically which channel the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve is on, but it's hosted by Ryan Seacrest. It seems to be the one that gets the most eyeballs, so should be fun. And yeah, I'm sure wherever I am, we'll have that on the screen, getting ready for the ball to drop at midnight on New Year's.
All right. Well, I will say one thing. You know, I guess we said this last year, but I am hoping this year, too. I hope 2022 is the year that we sort of could, like, move on with everything as I'm seeing the these COVID numbers here in Florida. Holy bleep. What in the world is going on here again? Down this road again. Did not think we would be here. And here we are. All right, got to take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back, we will wrap it up with the Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, Sunday morning, myself, Joe Pizzapia, getting you ready for the fantasy football playoffs, both from a daily fantasy perspective and season-long perspective. That's this Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, exclusively here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back to wrap up our show for this Friday, so stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It certainly felt like this was an inevitability, but several of the national reporters who cover the NFL are starting to speculate that the Raiders-Browns game scheduled for tomorrow afternoon could potentially be moved to Monday or Tuesday. And naturally, given what we've seen over the past couple of years, if you're planning on 4:30 in the afternoon tomorrow watching this game, I probably would make some other plans. Here is the Sports Grid 60.
Well, Craig, what did I say yesterday? I said, look, this is a great Saturday, you know, to be locked into your cell phone, that it was going to be not a weekend for apple picking. Look, the NFL just gave you your Saturday back, and they just what's going to end up happening is you're going to get an NFL game on Tuesday night. Who can possibly complain about this? The Browns can't complain. I mean, maybe the Raiders could complain because they're certainly not as deep in the COVID protocols, and they basically had an easy win lined up here against the Cleveland Browns. But I think NFL fans by and large have to be happy with this. You know, the Browns are going to get a chance to get guys out of the COVID protocols, and we're going to have a little Tuesday night NFL football. Kind of feels similar to what we got last year with that crazy Bills Titans game, so we can't complain.
Yeah, no, for us it'll be great. We'll be back here next week. We'll have a couple of more games to talk about. Obviously not official yet, just want to make sure that is the case. Bowl season is officially underway. 42 bowl games beginning this afternoon with the Bahamas Bowl. I can see already that this game is off to an insane start. Back and forth they go. Look, this is a fun time of year. And for those of you who are interested in fantasy football, it may not be a bad idea if you are flipping through any of your streaming options and just looking around at other things, maybe catch a bowl game or two this season, because there are going to be players that Davis and I are going to be talking about in 6 months from now when we're back in draft season that are playing in these games. So hopefully you guys get to enjoy that. I certainly am all about watching these bowl games and hoping I'm on the better side than some of the others. Thanks again to LPN today. Thanks again to Danny on the graphics and for Brett Levy and Davis Manick. I'm Frank Mitch. Hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others...